Hey, this is Jonathan Goodman, and I have incredibly exciting news. My book, The Obvious Choice, is now available for purchase in Kindle, in Audible, and in hardcover. Anywhere that you find books, please go on Amazon, please go to whatever bookstore you like, buy yourself a copy, buy a copy for a friend. Hope that you absolutely love it. Now let's get into the show. So small talk for introverts, it's a necessary evil. As artificial intelligence increasingly pervades our daily interactions, mastering the art of small talk, paradoxically, becomes more valuable, not less. Knowledge is rapidly becoming universal and immediate, whether it's networking events, parties, in-person businesses, like, I don't know, walking the floor as a trainer at a gym, or in online chat, meaningful, unscripted exchanges are becoming premium skills. Your ability to transition from casual chat to genuine human connection represents perhaps our most valuable social currency moving forward, one that no algorithm can fully replicate, which sucks for socially awkward and introverted people like me. Some people are naturally charismatic. If that's you, cool. Well done. Happy for you. Done. Won. Seriously, yay, you. Good job. For everybody else, I've studied this stuff a lot, so you don't have to. There's loads of articles, videos, books, online experts, but really, two tricks have been enough to drastically improve my confidence in social settings and prove the quality of my interactions. These two techniques are really the 80-20 of charismatic conversation. They'll make you feel more prepared and less anxious, and they're so simple that I could teach them to you in just a few minutes. First, the only goal of small talk. Then, the two tricks, one for asking better questions, the other for responding to worse questions that you're going to be asked. And finally, a 5-minute social prep exercise for you to do before any social event that makes you anxious. So let's start with the single goal of every conversation, which is to find something to geek out on together. That's it. That's the whole game. Not impressing them, not avoiding awkwardness, not seeming smart or funny or cool. Call it the charisma paradox. The more you try to impress on somebody else your impressiveness, the less impressed by you they will be. Find that one thing you both care about and can dive into enthusiastically. When you internalize this goal, everything gets simpler. The pressure drops. You're now just on a mission to discover a mutual interest, sports, books, parenting, hacks, travel spots, whatever. Once you find it, everything flows naturally. Do you both like baseball or movies? Were you in the military? Did you just get back from Mexico? Are you oddly obsessed with artisanal honey? Because I am. It's like the only thing that I spend money on. It's weird. The faster you find that connection, the better. And once you find it, you want to explore it. So here's how to get there. Trick number one is to ask open door questions, not stop sign questions. Some questions open doors to further discussion. Call them doorknob questions, while others bring dialogue to an abrupt halt. Call them stop signs. My son started playing with this other guy's kid at the pool yesterday. Me and the dude looked at each other and I knew we were in for some small talk. Now, I used to dread these interactions, like avoid him, hate him. Now I see them as practice. After a bit of back and forth, there was a pause. So I said to him, so do you have the kind of job where you go in at 9 and leave at 5? Or is it the kind of thing that really doesn't have stops and starts? I've basically asked him, what do you do for work? But in a way that invites him to tell me a bit more of a story about it. So he told me that he's a management consultant, and that he works regular hours but works with sports teams, so travels sometimes for work. Awesome, cool. Like, now we're getting some. If all that I did was ask what he did for work and he said management consultant, like, how do you follow that? Oh, cool. So what kinds of projects do you consult for? Like, management consultant is about as boring of a sounding occupation as you could imagine. But because of how I asked the question, his answer gave me something to explore. You see what I'm getting at? The stop sign version of the question is, what do you do for work? The doorknob version of the question is, so do you have the kind of job where you kind of get to go in at 9 and leave at 5, or does it not really have stops and starts? When you ask a question during small talk, try to get the other person, try to give the other person permission to go deeper by tapping into an emotion, to basically say, nah, dude, I actually want to hear this from you. The more they talk about it, the better chances you'll find something in common to double tap on. I can't talk about management consultant. That's like the most boring job ever. But travel's a thread I can pull on. So how do you follow up, right? Oh, cool. What's one of the coolest things you ever did on one of those trips? Most people feel guilty talking about themselves, but you want them to. You want to prompt them to tap into a memory which carries an emotion instead of just stories which are facts, or even worse, asking you the same question back instantly. Here's a few more examples of stop sign questions versus doorknob questions. So the stop sign question, how'd you meet your wife? Right, the doorknob version, how'd you and your wife choose your wedding venue? The stop sign question, where are you from? The doorknob version, what's your favorite thing to do in your hometown on weekends? One more. Stop sign question, how old are your kids? The doorknob version, what's the most unexpected thing you've learned since becoming a parent? If part of your job includes sales via direct message... If you've listened this far into the podcast, I want to invite you to buy a copy of my new book, The Obvious Choice. It's available now. A lot of people have been asking me what the book's about. The central premise is that it's learning how to position yourself as the clear and trusted answer to a specific group's problems. You see, a lot of people these days are trying to become famous to the faceless, anonymous internet, instead of becoming the obvious choice to a smaller amount of people who are going to buy from you. It's actually much better, much more profitable, much easier, and much faster, and much less stressful to be obviously perfect to a smaller amount of people than just okay to a lot of people who are never going to buy you. You see, you don't need to be the best at everything or chase the largest audience. You need to become the most relevant to your people. What I do is I emphasize the importance of understanding your audience's needs, meeting them where they already are, and delivering such value that choosing anyone else feels irrational. And so pick up a copy of the book. It's in Kindle, it's in Audible, it's in hardcover, wherever you find books. Hope that you absolutely love it. Messages on social media, this technique will improve your consultative sales conversations as well. Daniel trains jiu-jitsu athletes. He had a reel perform well and message new followers who engaged with the reel, but he didn't get much of a response. A lot of people feel like kind of scammy, like multi-level marketers when they do lukewarm DM outreach. Think of it as the beginning of a relationship. It's no different than meeting a dude at a pool or a social event. We workshopped Daniel's approach on a call in my mentorship. Here's what we came up with. The stop sign question that he asked was, what's your current workout routine look for BJJ? The doorknob version was there a moment you can remember where you knew you wanted to seriously train BJJ? Like for me, it was an episode of the Joe Rogan podcast where he talked about how hard physical training prepares you for life's challenges. I was going through some tough personal challenges and my buddy Jeff had been asking me to check out his academy for a while. And so I finally took him up on it. What about you? This technique alone is going to transform your conversations. But what about when you're on the receiving end of those dreaded stop sign questions? So that's where the second trick comes in, which is conversation threading. When somebody asks you, where are you from, and you respond with Toronto, you are providing one thread to continue the conversation. They either know about your hometown or they don't. If they don't, the conversation dies and it's hella awkward. I'm in Mexico now. Literally everybody that I meet is either from Idaho or Colorado. I don't know why that is, and I know nothing about either of those places. I do, however, likely have a bunch of values and interests in common with these people since we both found our way to the same pueblecito in Mexico in the middle of March. So when somebody asks me where I'm from, here's how I respond. Well, home's Toronto. I've got a 7 and a 2-year-old and we live close to the river. My work forces me to talk a lot, so I love to hide away a little and paddleboard. Then we spend about 4 months every winter someplace warm. What about you? What's your favorite thing to do in your hometown? With that second answer, I provided them at least 6 threads to pull on and ended with a doorknob question. We could talk about Toronto, fatherhood, paddleboarding, or outdoor exercise. They might follow up with a question about how we manage education for my 7-year-old for so long abroad. And I've opened up an invitation for them to ask me about my work. Or if they prefer, they can answer my doorknob question and tell me about themselves. Think of a thread, a conversation thread, as a hyperlink in a blog article. If you follow that link, it's going to send you to another article, leading to related articles. A conversation is nothing more than an interconnected web of topics that all relate, similar to the web. The topics are there. You both just need an avenue to naturally access them. So that's it. 2 techniques. Ask doorknob questions that invite stories. Pre-prepare multi-threaded responses to basic questions. You see, as AI gets better at generating information and content, knowledge ceases to be scarce. What you know becomes less valuable every day. Don't be nervous. Scarcity doesn't get solved, it gets displaced. So what's one of the new elements of scarcity? I think it's going to be genuine human connection. The time to work on your social skills is now, especially if you're an awkward guy like me. You don't need to memorize 27 body language cues that will force yourself to be an extrovert to reduce your anxiety in social situations. You simply need to prepare. So here's what I suggest. It's a 5-minute social prep. Before any social events, what I'll do is I'll do 5 minutes of prep that drastically reduces my social anxiety and increases the quality of my interactions. It gives me the confidence to walk into a room of strangers and be more engaging. Here's my simple exercise. You want to bookmark this and do this before your next event. I promise it'll help. Step one is to anticipate the 3 most common questions you'll be asked. Write them down based off of the event type. What are most people going to ask you? What do you do for work? Oh, how do you know so-and-so? Where are you from? And then what you're going to do is you're going to craft a multi-threaded responses for each question. So for each anticipated question you wrote before, prepare a response that includes at least 3 to 4 threads people can pull on. And then finally, step 3 is to prepare 3 doorknob questions relative to the event, right? So these are your lifelines when the conversation stalls or you need to shift topics. You know, a couple examples, like if you could have dinner with 2 people from any point in history, who are you choosing and why? Or what's the most unexpected thing you've learned about recently? Or do you have something you love to do on weekends when you're back in the town where you grew up on? Memorize those 3 doorknob questions. Hit them when the conversation stalls. Take that conversation in new area. The beauty of this system is that after using it a few times, it becomes second nature. You'll start naturally crafting these multi-threaded responses and doorknob questions on the fly. Now, remember, you're not trying to impress anyone. You're just trying to find something to geek out on together. I hope this helps you find confidence in social situations in a way that it helped me. I've done a lot of work to really dial and whittle it back to these 2 simple things, call it this 80-20 of social awkwardness for introverts. Thanks for listening.